really excited about today, and because it really gives us an opportunity to see a lot of people we haven't seen in a while. You know, this is an opportunity when just more people show up, and we know, and I was picking at somebody before service, and I meant no harm by it, but there are CEO Christians, Christmas, Easter only. And we love you. Okay, I'm just saying, no, I'm just kidding. I know that we all have different schedules, and sometimes we're in and out, but it seems like on Easter, we all show up on the same day, and it really is a great opportunity for us to take care of a couple things that we actually started last year, and we're going to be doing this on an annual basis, and that is that we have, I just want to bring your attention to it, and this connection card. I'd like everybody, if you would, to take a moment before we get into today's message. I want you to take out your connection card, and this helps us do a couple of things. I'm going to refer to this again at the end of the message, and there's some things on there that needs a little bit of explaining a little bit later, but I want to just mention this to you, and that is that this gives us an opportunity to take some surveys today. And what I'd like to do is I want to ask you some questions in regard to what you would like to hear about in the way of a message. Now, you may think this is a little strange, but actually Jesus at times would talk with his disciples. His disciples would ask him questions. And then so the disciples would kind of set the topic and Jesus would answer their questions. And so what I would like to do is just see what you would like to know about from the Bible, what you would like to hear about a specific message. And what we'll do is, based on your responses today, we're going to take the top six responses, and in the fall, we'll build a series around that, and it's called You Ask For It. And so we did this last fall. I think everybody really enjoyed that, and there's some things that you might have questions about that you'd like to know about. So here's what we'd like to do. If you look at your connection card, you notice down in the bottom section, it's perforated, and it says prayer request, but if you flip it over on the back, it says questions or comments. What we'd like you to do is take a moment, we're just going to take some time right now, for everyone just to write down a topic or something you'd like to hear about. Now to help you, we're going to put some things up here on the screen for you to refer to. Last year was kind of really all over the map. It was kind of hard to pull it in. And so this might help you if you'd like to use this as a guide. If there's something up here that interests you, that you want to pull from. It doesn't have to be on this list. It could be something off of this list. That's fine. But we thought these things might help you just to refer to these. Can everybody see those okay? All right. So finding God's will, the Holy Spirit, forgiveness, end times, dealing with difficult people. I don't know of anybody that needs that one. Okay. Right. Okay. And so finances, that's a great one. Handling stress, I could use that one. Parenting. Anyway, just look at that list and take a moment, take about 30 seconds, and when you're through with that, just kind of look up here at me, because I would really like to get a response from you today, and at the end of the service, we're going to receive an offering, and you could drop that in. If you don't want us to know who you are that wrote a certain topic down, you can be anonymous if you like. It's perforated. You can tear that off. And you could put that in a little bit later. And that's really going to help us. And we're going to come back to that card here in just a few moments because it's going to help us do one other thing of great value here at Crosspoint. Well, today's a big day, and there's an expectation to have a big message. Well, it is a big message. It's a message about a risen Savior. And I was on vacation this past week, and we were driving, and I just was thinking about Easter coming up, and I got overwhelmed as we were in the car. We were in South Florida. We put over 2,000 miles on our car, by the way. We did more driving than we did stopping and putting sand on our feet, okay? We were just looking, palm trees and everything. My folks live in Orlando. We went over to the West Coast to visit a relative of Kim's that's not doing well, and so we visited with her, and then we went on down towards Sanibel Island. Anybody know where that is? Seashell paradise. I mean, if you like seashells, that's the place to go. And we got down there, we were at Fort Myers, and I said, well, rather than me tracking all the way back through Tampa to Orlando, I could just as easily go across the Everglades and go, you know, to the East Coast. So I'm just going to take it all in. So we went towards the East Coast, and And my big mistake was I was thinking Fort Lauderdale, but when I saw the Miami sign, I thought, why not? So that was a mistake, I'm just telling you. Went to Miami. I've never seen so many cars since New York City. I'm just saying, you know, it was a mess. I said, Jesus, get me out of here right now, please. Get me out. And my wife said, I'm through it. I'm tired of it. Get me out. I said, honey, I can't pop us out. It took a while to get in here. It's going to take a while to get out. So anyway, so we found a hotel and rested up and then went up A1A. And as I was going up at A1A the next day on the East Coast and looking at Donald Trump's house and all those pretty places, you know, I got to thinking about the amazing love of God. And we got into a conversation about this. And I tell you, I cannot, you know, it's frustrating because words fail you to try to explain something that you really don't fully understand. But just to fathom it, it's beyond imagination. The Bible tells us that if one would die for a righteous person, how would one die for the ungodly? And yet, Jesus demonstrated his love for us in that he died for us when we were unlovable. He came to this earth. And I was talking to Kim about this. I said, you know, John chapter 1 talks about the fact that all things that were made by him. Without him was not anything made that was made. He was the creator. He being the creator created us, and yet he loved us so much that he was willing to lay down his life for you and I that we could live and have a relationship with him. That blows my mind. And I started just contemplating that and thinking about it, and it just got overwhelmed with the goodness of God. And I got to thinking about how the creator came, but he came to the creation. He came to the creation. But the creation had fallen. We know that we failed to sin, but God had a plan. And I began to pin this out, and that is that there was this plan. And God's plan is that God came to pick you up because you had fallen. God came to pick you up and to rescue you. The Bible says that we were in a low estate. The psalmist says that he remembered us when we were in our low estate. You're in a low state. If you're in a place where you're in a low state and you don't know how to get out of it, the Bible says that God remembers you in that place. He knows where you are. And he cares about you. And he comes to you to pick you up. God came to rescue you and to pick you up. We call that salvation. He comes to save us. He comes to pick us up and get us out of that place that we don't belong in. And then the next thing he does, he not only comes to pick us up, he came to stand you up. After he picks you up, he stands you up and he establishes you. He cleans you up. He delivers you. And we call that freedom. Gets you out of a bad place, but then he gets a bad place out of you. And so he comes to pick you up, he comes and he stands you up, and then he also comes to fill you up. He says, I'm not going to leave you at your own devices because you're going to fall right back in the same place, but I'm going to fill you with my spirit, with the Holy Spirit, and he's going to come and reside inside of you, and you're going to understand who you are now. You're not who you thought you were. You're my child. You're not a slave. You're my child. I was talking to Kim about this a couple weeks ago. We actually went up to Mount Airy, a.k.a. Mayberry, okay? And I don't know if y'all remember Otis. Everybody remember Otis? Otis was the town drunk. Actually, we did have an opportunity to go inside of a mock-up jail and get in there and, you know, act like we were Otis. But anyway, but Otis was there. If you remember the show, Otis is there, and he and there was one episode where he discovered that an ancestor of his did something really great. And he was the one to get an award. They had an award, an heir of him for this great accomplishment. And when the mayor found out it was the town drunk, they were beside. Anybody remember that episode? They didn't know. Does anybody remember that? I'm just seeing if I'm connected. Anyway, so here they were trying to make this award happen, and they didn't want it to happen because it was the town drunk. Well, Otis, when he found out that his ancestor was somebody, old Otis cleaned up, put on a tie. Y'all like my tie today? Put on a tie and cleaned up real good and stood there with pride and honor, because what happened was he realized he was somebody else. He wasn't just a town drunk. He was somebody. And I just got to tell you, that's what Easter is all about. And that is that oftentimes we don't realize who we are. And God sees us in our fallen state, and He comes to us to rescue us and to give us His name and to put His Spirit into us and give us a new identity and let us know really who we are in Him. So God came to pick you up. He came to stand you up. He came to establish, He came to fill you up. And then He also came, some of y'all are going to like this, He came to light you up. And it's not what you think, okay? He came to light you up, and that is He came to light up your life. That means that He came to turn your dark days into light days, into bright days. And He came that you might, that your life may be a life of fulfillment and purpose. And really what all this is called is the good news. It's the good news. I have to tell you, on my drive back home, I got a lot of illustrations on my trip, but on my drive back home, we pulled off on this exit in Georgia, and we were going to the Chick-fil-A, the greatest place to eat on the face of the earth, right? Chick-fil-A. And so sitting there in the parking lot, there was this RV, and I got to show you a picture of this RV that I took on my phone. It's not the best picture, but Darren, you have that ready? Okay. I was trying to drive and take the picture. Kim said, drive. There's a car coming. And I'm like, I got to get a picture of this because I got to show it tomorrow. I look at this thing, and I'm like, dude, what is with this? And I don't know if you can see it close enough, but it says, the day of Yah cometh, He shall destroy the sinners. And then there's on the other side of that, let me just see if I can zoom in, if I can see that close enough. He says, the unsaved shall be turned into hell and all the nations that forget. And it says, no Jehovah, that's N-O Jehovah, no Jesus. And that never did say N-O. I've heard that K-N-O-W. It never did say that. It just said, no Jesus, no Jehovah, no Jesus. Promote the truth. And I'm looking at this and I'm thinking, you know, it looks like they're bent on making sure you understand what His name is. And I get that. But I'm thinking something is missing in all that. And I don't know how the gospel has come to you. But oftentimes, it comes in a way that we miss what the point of it all is. Now, yes, there is a judgment day coming, but here's the good news. And that is that Jesus took our judgment for us so we wouldn't have to be judged. That's the good news, everybody. Yes, He is a God of justice, but Jesus paid our sins for us. And so, anyway, I just had to share that with you because I just want you to understand, God's not against you. And His goal is not to come and destroy you. In fact, that's the goal of the enemy. The goal of the enemy is to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But Jesus said, I have come that you might have life and that you might have it to the full. That's God's plan for your life. So this morning, I want us to understand that this Easter message is good news. And that's what the gospel means. It's good news. And I can't pass up an opportunity on Easter to present to you what the true gospel is. It's good news. We've actually had some stories here at Crosspoint where we've been going through and talking to different people, and we've had some times of sharing. And I don't know of anything more powerful than people's story. We did a series, an 8-part series of Running with the Giants, and every week we had people in our church up here on stage, and we talked to them about their story, and each one of them was powerful about how that their life had changed and they came to Christ. You can see we had these discussions up here. And this couple right here that we talked to, I love what Dawn shared. And she said that when she first heard about Christianity, what she heard was that all we wanted to point out was her sin. And she said, we knew we had sin, but all they wanted to point out was they wanted to clean up the sin first, but they never presented the Savior, almost turned them completely off. In fact, they didn't even believe in Christ. In fact, didn't even believe that there was a God. Pastor Steve here, he'll tell you, he didn't even believe there was a God. But he walked into a church one day, and he heard the gospel presented in a very simple, truthful way, and he had never heard the plain, simple truth of God's word. And the two of them ran to the altar and gave their heart to the Lord. Amen. Today, Dawn serves in our prayer ministry. They did a prayer walk all over this place yesterday and all over our community and the campus. And Steve, he's our small groups pastor because life change happened and Jesus made all things new. That's what Easter is about, everybody. Come on, everybody, right? So I want us to understand what Easter is really about. Let me tell you something else I've never understood about Easter, and that is, and you'll probably see it tonight, why is it that at Easter time they always present the movie The Ten Commandments? Y'all know what I'm talking about? On TV. I'm thinking, why don't you present Jesus of Nazareth, you know, the crucifixion and the resurrection. But they always present the Ten Commandments. But the fact of the matter is, the story of Moses and the deliverance of Israel out of Egypt actually is very much the Easter story. And I want to present that to you very briefly here today and let you consider this. God began to speak to Moses about delivering the people out of bondage. You're going to see how this ties into Easter in just a moment. And in Exodus chapter 6 and verse 6, he tells Moses something to tell Israel. And he says this. He says, therefore say to the Israelites, I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the yoke of the Egyptians. I will free you from being slaves to them, and I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and with mighty acts of judgment. That's an important scripture there. And look what it says. It goes on to say, I will take you as my own people, and I will be your God. Then you will know that I am the Lord your God, who brought you out from under the yoke of the Egyptians. It's a powerful, powerful scripture. And in fact, it's so powerful. And those of you that attend Crosspoint, you've heard this before. In fact, today you'll have an opportunity to dig deeper into this. If you would like, we offer a growth track here that you heard about in our announcement video. And that happens immediately following all of our activities today for Easter. Lunch will be provided, and we have some people already signed up for that. You're welcome to join us. Even if today's your first Sunday, you can jump on the track, and we'll dive deeper into this scripture. And because we as a church have actually based everything we do upon the scripture, because this is what we've discovered in Jewish culture. When the Jewish culture observed Passover, they actually observed four cups. If you look at scripture, when Jesus was partaking of the Last Supper with his disciples, it refers to the cup more than once, and it's because there were actually four cups that were presented in the Jewish culture, and they were all based on this scripture, because there are four I wills in the scripture that we just read. And the Jewish culture bases those four cups on those four I wills. But if you look at those four I wills, it ties in directly to the last words that Jesus said before he ascended to the Father in the Great Commission. And it points to us to the fact that God has a plan and a purpose for our lives. And if it was the same his will back then as it was when Jesus left and it was his final words before he left, then it must be telling us what God's will is for our life, and we need to be all about doing that. And so here's what we gain from that scripture. It presents to us this first cup of the cup of the Jewish custom calls it the sanctification. Now we would call it salvation, and that is just what I described, that God came to pick us up. In other words, God came to get you out of Egypt. He came to get you out of that place. And some of us today are in a place that we don't belong. We're in a place of bondage. We're in a place of oppression. We're in a place where we're bound to our past or habits or addictions. And Jesus comes to bring us out of that. And Moses was a type and shadow of Christ who was to come. And Moses came used by God. And God was saying, I'm going to get my people out of there. He said, I'm not about getting you in a church. I'm not trying to get you all cleaned up right now. The first thing I need to do, I just need to get you out of there. And so, and then it goes on. Then there's the cup of deliverance. He says, I will bring you out from under the yoke of the Egyptians. And then he says, I will free you from being slaves to them. In other words, I've now got you out of Egypt. I need to get Egypt out of you. And so his goal there is freedom. That cup of deliverance offers freedom. And today, I just want to tell you, in this place, on Easter Sunday, God offers the cup of freedom. God comes to free us from our past and to set us free. So that, listen, we understand we're no longer slaves, but we're free. We're children of the King. And then there's a third cup that's presented there. It's the cup of redemption. He says that, I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and with mighty acts of judgment. And there we see the cup of redemption. And that means that God comes to restore us back to our original value. You see, some of us, I don't think, really recognize our true value of really who we are. And the world has renamed us. Our circumstances has renamed us. Our family oftentimes have renamed us. But it's interesting to me that when Jesus comes on the scene, oftentimes he would look at people and he would change their name. God in the Old Testament would change their name. It's because of misidentity and we forget who we are in him. Today I want you to recognize this fact, and that is that God comes to redeem you back to the true value before the fall, what your true value is, to redeem you for your true purpose. And then the cup of fulfillment. Or the cup of praise, which is fulfillment. It's the cup of Hallel. We just sung Hallelujah today, and that means laughter. And that's a praise to God, a joyous praise to God. And that comes when he says that I will take you as my people. And God comes to put us in a family. We're no longer orphans. We're no longer trying to make it ourselves all alone, but God fulfills us in the context of relationship with other people. Those four cups, the cup of sanctification, the cup of deliverance, the cup of redemption, and the cup of praise, we've here at Crosspoint have built everything we do around that. But I want us to look at this first one, which is the most important thing, and it's actually everything that we focus on Sunday morning, and it's really the focus for Easter Sunday, and that is that first cup. That cup where God says, I want to get you out of there. I want to save you. I want to bring you out of there. And see, here's what it looks like when you're under slavery, when you're under this yoke. Exodus 6:6-7, he says this, I will bring you out from under the yoke. I'll bring you out from under the yoke. What does that look like? Well, for the Hebrew slaves, they were forced to make bricks. And so I would say that when you're under the yoke of bondage, you feel enslaved. You feel enslaved. I want to give you this scripture in John chapter 8. Jesus said, I tell you most solemnly that anyone who chooses a life of sin is trapped in a dead-end life and is, in fact, a slave. Jesus said that. His slave is a transient who cannot come and go at will. A slave is a transient who cannot come and go at will. And then, but look at Matthew chapter 27. Something powerful happened when Jesus came to this earth and he died on the cross and he was raised again. I want you to look at a scripture that's found in Matthew chapter 27. And actually, it's not recorded in any other Gospels. This part of the Easter story was very unique. Matthew chapter 27, verse 50 says this, when Jesus had cried out again in a loud voice, he gave up the spirit. At that moment, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth shook and the rock split. The tombs broke open, and the bodies of many holy people who had died were raised to life. They came out of the tombs, after Jesus' resurrection, they went into the holy city and appeared to many people. Now, wouldn't that be something? 6 months ago, you buried Aunt Martha, and you look up, and here comes Aunt Martha down the road. I mean, wouldn't that be something? And when you study this and when you look and you see what theologians say about this and scholars say about this, they really can't explain it. All they can say is there's no explanation. It's a miracle. Can I tell you that what needs to happen on Easter Sunday? It's not us just remembering what happened 2,000 years ago. We know that Jesus died on the cross and he rose again, and we could celebrate that and go home and everything stays the same. But here's what needs to happen. You need to understand that on Easter Sunday, you need to experience Easter, and Easter is a miracle. Easter is a miracle. And that same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is able to raise us and cause us to walk in newness of life. But in the state of bondage, you feel enslaved. Another thing that happens under this yoke of bondage, I want us to see what happened to Israel. And there was the murder of babies, the murder of babies. In fact, Israel God was blessing them so greatly. They were populating, and the Egyptian women were not having children, and the Hebrews were the Israelites. They were having children, and here they had all these kids. But then there was this understanding that there was a deliverer that was to come, and so the Pharaoh ordered the slaughter of all of these children. That's why, if you hear read about Moses, he was hid. Remember, he was hid in an ark, in a bulrush. Sent down river, but Pharaoh's daughter, what? You remember the story? How he was taken into Pharaoh's house, and he was raised under Pharaoh, and Pharaoh thought he was one of his own. And here was Moses that escaped that. But understand this, and that is, in that time, there was a murder of babies. When that happens, there is the feeling of emptiness. You feel empty. You feel empty. And I don't mean to get political here and get controversial here, but the same enemy that was alive then is alive now. And there is the murder of babies today. But why is he doing that? In fact, even when Jesus was born, remember? Herod ordered the murder of babies, right? Why is it that the enemy wants to kill off the baby? I'll tell you why. Because there's potential there. There's potential there. And the goal of the enemy is to try to kill and steal and to destroy your potential. Come on, that's for somebody today. I feel that. That went out to somebody today. He wants to kill your potential as a family. He wants to kill the potential of your marriage, of your children. In fact, he wants to kill the potential of a church. But Jesus said, I've come that you might have life and that you might have it to the full. And God fulfilled his promise. He allowed Moses to escape the sword, and Jesus to escape the sword, and Jesus went and fulfilled the purpose of taking our sins upon us so that we could escape the sword. Amen? And then look at the third thing we see under this yoke. That is that there was the requiring of Pharaoh that they were to build bricks with no straw, right? Requiring them to collect their own straw, come up with their own resources, and here's the result of that, and that is that you feel exhausted. You feel exhausted. Does anybody feel exhausted? Let's don't get too honest here today. Overwhelmed. See, I believe that's a strategy of the enemy as well, just to wear you out and to wear you down. If he can just keep you pressed down, if he can just keep you, come on, he could just squelch what God wants to do in your life. If you could just be up under your circumstances, people say, well, under the circumstances, what are you doing under there? Because Jesus came that we could overcome, right? Jesus came that we could overcome those things. But the enemy's desire is that your focus will be all those circumstances around, just keeping you exhausted, wore out, that you can't reach the potential and God's purpose for your life. John 10 and 10, I've said it over and over again. I'm going to read it to you. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they might have life and have it to the full. What does all this have to do with Easter? I hope you're getting this. Romans 8 and 11 says this. It stands to reason, doesn't it? It stands to reason that if the alive and present God who raised Jesus from the dead moves into your life, he'll do the same thing in you that he did in Jesus, bringing you alive in himself. When God lives and breathes in you, you are delivered from that dead life. When his spirit living in you, with his spirit living in you, your body will be as alive as Christ. And what that's saying, another version is saying this, says this, that the same spirit raised Jesus from the dead lives in you and is able to make you alive in him. That's powerful. I don't know if we can grasp that. That's powerful. That means you have no more excuse. Amen. Jesus resides in you. You say, well, I can't do that, Pastor. I don't have the strength to live for him. I don't have the strength to make it. I am tired. I am worn. I am beaten down. But Jesus came and he made a way. And through his power and through what he did for us, he enables us through his spirit. That same spirit gives us the power. We can't do it, but he can do it through us. First Peter says this, chapter 1. Because Jesus was raised from the dead, we've been given a brand new life and have everything to live for, including a future in heaven, and the future starts now. I love that. Future starts now. By the way, this life isn't just, well, when we get to heaven, we're going to start living. No! You start living when you accept Christ right here and right now, and you just keep going. Amen. Think about it. Forever is a long, long time. So what do we do about all this? What do we do? Let me just offer some quick suggestions. Three things I want to suggest, and that is make the move. And what that really means, and I don't want to scare you with this word, but it means repent. And I don't mean that word like it is on that RV, okay? All right? It simply means you're going the wrong direction. And you say, I'm going to turn around, God. I'm going to follow you. And you got to make the move. See, God's already made his move. He sent his son. He died on the cross. He rose again. He paved the way. It's there to whosoever will. And so I encourage you, take that step to repent. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 says this, therefore, come out from them and be separate, says the Lord. Touch no unclean thing, and I will receive you, and I will be a father to you, and you will be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. That's that coming out of Egypt, coming out of that place that you don't belong, that you think that people have titled you and that's who you are. No, come out of that place. God has a purpose for your life. Amen? Second thing I want to encourage you to do, and that's let it go. And that presents this word, surrender, surrender. Surrender is a beautiful word. I think sometimes we're afraid of it, but it's really a beautiful word. It actually frees you, enables you to go to a place of great opportunity in Christ when you surrender your will to his will. That's what Jesus did in the garden, you remember? When we fell, our problem was we said, I want what I want. I want my will. And Jesus straightened it out. In another garden. We messed up in the Garden of Eden. At the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus said, not my will, your will be done. And he opened heaven's gates for us when he did so. And guess what? Heaven's gates open for you as well when you say, not my will, but your will be done, and you surrender. Mark 8 says this, anyone who intends to come with me has to let me lead. You're not in the driver's seat. I could park right there, okay? Because I did most of the driving. And when Kim took the wheel, and she was telling me, don't text and drive, and don't look at your phone, and don't do this, and don't do that when you're driving, and stay on the road, stay on course. And then she had a little bit of driving coming home because I had to get things ready for today. And I'm a bad passenger. I'm just telling her. I said, it's not you, it's me. I just got to be in control. I said, don't they put a steering wheel on this side of the car? Isn't there a brake on this? At least a brake, you know? They did that driver's ed, you know, hey. You're not in the driver's seat. I am. Follow me and I'll show you how. Self-help is no help at all. Self-sacrifice is the way, my way, to saving yourself. Isn't that good? Isn't that good? Is that God? Just sit back. I remember when I was a kid, I'd sit back in the back seat. And we'd say, where are we going? And Mom said, I don't know. And I said, well, don't we need to know where we're going? No, I don't need to know where we're going. Dad's driving. We'll get there wherever it is. And that's just a place to be. Man, just leave the driving to God, and God's going to take you there, right? To a place better than you could take yourself. Number three, commit your life. Commit your life. And that speaks of this beautiful word, relationship. And that's really what God's after. He just wants to have a relationship with us. Romans 16 and 19 says this, just as you used to offer yourselves as slaves to impurity and to ever-increasing wickedness, so now offer yourselves as slaves to righteousness leading to holiness. And just say, God, I want to be in relationship with you, and you take me there. Today, my prayer is that you'll experience the miracle of his love, that you'll experience the power of his resurrection. Jesus came to get you out of there, to set you free. So much so that now that the power of death, hell, and the grave no longer holds you. Even that doesn't hold you. And the Bible says he has the keys to death, hell, and the grave. Guess what? He has the keys to unlock that dead place in your life. He has the keys to set you free. And only Jesus has those keys. It's only said of Jesus. Amen? And so, my prayer is that you experience the power of his resurrection. But what is the power of the resurrection? Well, we know that the resurrection is not an event, it's a person. When Lazarus, the friend of Jesus, was in that tomb for 4 days, and they doubted and told Jesus, it's too late, if you would have been here earlier, and Jesus referred to the resurrection, they said, well, we know in the last day, Jesus. And Jesus said, no, wait a minute. It's more than just the last day. And he looked at them and said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me shall never die, but shall live forever. And so Easter is not an event. Understand it? Come on, everybody say it. Easter is a person. Easter is Jesus. That's what Easter is. The power of his resurrection. What is the power of his resurrection? It's the power of God to call forth from the dead and to bring to life. It's Jesus saying, Lazarus, come forth. It's the power of his spirit that comes on the scene and says it's not too late. Everybody listen to me. Look at me. It's not too late. It's not too late. It's not too late for you. It's not too late for your marriage. Come on. It's not too late for your finances. It's not too late. Jesus is an on-time God. He's not too late. Amen. And he comes, to set us free, to give us a new beginning. My wife has been really, the last several weeks, has been talking to me about this place in the Bible that talks about the Valley of Dry Bones. Valley of Dry Bones. And it was a vision that someone had many years ago, and they saw this Valley of Dry Bones. And the word of God came to this prophet and said, can these bones live again? And it was a good answer. Only you know. And you may be looking at your situation and say, do I have any hope left? Is this situation in my life going to turn around? Have I far too gone? Am I in a situation where I can't change because of my father, my grandfather, my grandmother, my mother? What? Am I in a situation where because of my environment, nothing can change? And the prophet looked at this, and God instructed the prophet to begin to speak to the bones. And can I tell you that when we speak God's word, the power of his resurrection, the power of his word, the power of his spirit, things are going to change in your life. I believe that. And I believe today is a day that God wants to speak into your life and say, behold, I've come to make all things new. I've come to make all things new. Father, I just pray right now for each person that's here today, wherever they are on their journey, their spiritual journey. And like it or not, we're all on a spiritual journey. We're going somewhere. We're frustrated at times because we can't get this thing worked out. There's drama here. Hardships, there's difficulties in our life that we don't know how to overcome, but God, you told us there is a way. You said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And God, when we surrender our life to you, it's no longer ours. It's yours. And then you're able to make something beautiful out of it and take us to the place that you have prepared for us. Not just in the hereafter, but in the now. So Father, I pray that your Holy Spirit would speak to our hearts. Our hearts will be open to you and understand that you have come and you're the only one that's taking care of the sin issue. And that sin issue is what keeps us from you. But Jesus, you paid for it so we wouldn't have to. Help us today to accept your payment and receive you in Jesus' name. Amen. I want you to look up at me for just a moment. I'd like you to take your connection card out. Again, and we don't do this every Sunday, we do this once a year, but I want you to help me with something. Today's a great opportunity for us to find out, just kind of get a survey of where everybody is on their spiritual journey. Got no tricks up our sleeve, no gimmicks we're going to pull in this. We would just like this information from you. And here's what it is. If you'll look at the connection card on the front, you'll see an A, B, C, and D. And let me just tell you what those represent, and we'd like you to to help us by checking one of those. A, Darren, if you'll help me throw that up there for me. A refers to this, and that is, I am already in a relationship with Jesus. Can you see that? I am already in a relationship with Jesus. And so you say, well, Pastor, I've already made that decision. I've already partook of that cup of salvation. I've accepted his gift. I'm walking with him. I'm in a right relationship with him. That's awesome. We'd love it if you would just indicate that on there. Just put a check on that A there. And then B. B represents this. I am beginning a relationship with God today. If you're here today and God is speaking to your life and you know that you're not where you need to be, but you're ready today. And today you're saying, today I'm going to make that decision. I'd like you to check that B. I'm beginning a relationship with God today. I'm going to help you with that in just a moment. I'm just going to lead you in a prayer. And here's the next letter, and that's C. C says, I would like to consider it a bit more first. And that's okay. If you're not ready, listen, I think church should not only be a place for Christians, but I should believe it should be a place where somebody can come and they just want to check it out. And they want to try it. And they want to see if it's right. And see if it's a fit. And see if it works. And that's okay. I'm okay with that. I'm okay with that. All right? We're not going to cram this thing down your throat. Now, our hope is that you'll come to Christ. But if you want to consider a bit more, would you just have the courage just to check C? And then D. Now, D scares me a little bit. But D means this. That is, I do not ever intend to make this decision. And if that's where you are, I hope you'll have the boldness just to go ahead and indicate that. Again, that one scares me a little bit, but here's what I promise that we will do. We will pray for you. You may not want us to, but we will pray for you. Because oftentimes what I understand is that when this survey is done is that one Easter it says the person indicates D and they come back the next Easter and say, last year I checked D, but this year it's a B. Come on. And so that's our prayer. Here's what I'd like to do. If you have checked B, I'd like to lead you in a prayer of commitment. And it's simply doing what we alluded to, which is to surrender your life. I'm not going to have you stand. I'm not going to have you come to the front. I'm simply going to lead you in what we call a commitment prayer and allow you the opportunity to come to Christ. And what I'd like you to do is just, everyone, just bow your heads. Now, Father, for those that have checked B, that one that's here today that needs to receive Christ and is ready to do so, God, hear their prayer. Would you just, if that's you, would you just, right where you're seated, you don't have to be loud, but just there in your heart or under your breath if you like, just repeat these words and let this be your prayer. Let this be your prayer, not just words of a man, but I'm asking you, let this be your prayer. Again, I want to remind you, this is not committing to a church. This is not about joining a church. This is about your relationship with Jesus Christ. Would you just simply say this? Say, Lord Jesus, today I give you my life. Today I surrender my will to your will. Thank you, Jesus, for coming to this earth, dying on the cross, pay for my sins. By faith, I accept your payment for my sins. I repent. I turn from my way. I come to follow you. I accept you into my life and I commit myself to you. Thank you, Jesus, for forgiving me of my sins. Thank you for making me brand new. Today, I declare that you are the Lord of my life. With all of my heart, I will follow you as you give me the power to do so. Thank you, Jesus.